Welcome to the Alaska Radio Reader Rambler, your monthly potpourri of literary snacks for the mind and interviews. I'm Sandy Harper here, but without my usual co-host, Dick Reichman, who's in Juneau playing Scrooge at Perseverance Theatre's Christmas Carol. But believe me, this is not typecasting, as those who know Dick can attest he is actually the sweetest guy in the world. But I am here with our special guest, Charlotte Fox, who's led the Alaska State Council on the Arts for the last 10 years and is planning to make her exit soon, but is most certainly leaving with a bang and definitely not a whimper. In fact, January is going to be a major arts summit. So Charlotte, welcome, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about how the summit came about and some of the exciting offerings that we're going to have.
All right. Thanks, and thanks for having me, Sandy. It's really nice to be across the table from you and chatting about the arts in Alaska. This gathering that we're going to have in January is started actually at the last gathering, statewide gathering we had in 2009. We did a post-conference summit, or a survey, and the number one thing that people said was, we want another conference.
Well, I remember.
And we want it soon. And because of the way we work, we have a lot of other things that we do at the Alaska State Council on the Arts besides do conferences. We thought, you know, we needed to have a little space. We certainly can't do it every year, so we decided that an every 3-year schedule was a really good idea. So here we are again. And this time, because last year I did a lot of meetings around the state, went to communities, had community conversations, we really got a lot of input from people, a lot of ideas. People have a lot of ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of folks said, you know, we'd love a workshop on advocacy, or we'd love a workshop on how to do sponsorship better, or we'd love to have a workshop on journal writing. So we're having John Straley, our former Alaska State Writer Laureate, come and do a workshop on journal writing, which I'm going to go to because it just sounds so lovely. So I think we've got 25 workshops, over 100 presenters. We have our keynote speaker is Milenko Matanovich. He is from the Pomegranate Center in Seattle, and he calls himself a recovered artist or recovering artist or something like that. He studied art, was an international artist, and he decided that he really wanted to use the arts as a community building project endeavor. And so he is throughout Washington, he has created public gathering spaces using people's input and the arts.
Is he the arts place person?
No, he is not.
Oh, that's another initiative.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he is actually doing these projects in communities. And if you go to the Pomegranate Center website, you'll see a lot of his projects. They're just beautiful projects that he uses the community to build these projects.
That's
exciting.
It's
not like he does these projects. Mm-hmm. So we thought that this theme of creative communities and building community through arts and culture was a really good one and a very timely one. Throughout America, a lot of creative placemaking is a very common term now. And so we thought that this would be a really good idea to have someone like this who's actually doing this work come and address the conference.
Right, to inspire the we
yes.
of the community.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And so he's going to be one of your keynote speakers.
He is. Yeah. He is. And just a couple others. Ben Cameron, who many of us know.
Oh, he's so electric.
He currently works for the Doris Duke Foundation, but was former director of the Theater Communications Group. Mm-hmm. He'll be up to wake us up on Saturday morning and talk to us about his perspectives nationally on community and creativity. And then we have Carol Coletta. A lot of C's, isn't there? I'm feeling like I'm going. Carol Coletta, who's the executive director of Art Place, is going to speak to.
Ah.
That is a national foundation. 10 foundations got together and put in a lot of funding to support projects around the U.S. That are using the arts to build community. It's just an amazing national trend now.
Well, that is so important right now, especially when you read about arts funding being cut by so many governments.
Yes.
And cities.
Yeah.
And states.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So this is sort of like Occupy for the Arts.
Yeah.
And and you know what the arts can achieve. I mean, everyone's always saying, well, we want a creative society, we want an innovative society, we want people who are critical thinkers, mm-hmm. have discipline mm-hmm. and commitment. And I think you would agree that the arts provide that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there's more and more studies all the time that show that if you introduce the arts at a very young age, which was the way I was raised,
mm-hmm.
that those people turn out to be more creative thinkers. They may not be artists. They may not make their living in the arts, but they learn how to think and they have more ideas. And that's what our economy is based on now. Our economy is based on ideas. I mean, I thought it was so interesting, the biography of Steve Jobs that just came out that showed how mm-hmm. creative this man was. I mean, he built an industry around creativity. And
because
it
he didn't
was
put any
computers.
Doors on his mind, he just went kept going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so
that is,
it is.
That's inspiring. And I think through the arts, we really can spark that certain gift of everybody. Everybody has, I think, that potential. And certainly the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
it's a matter of honoring that in people. So
it is. It is.
And that's, I guess, another thing I know is dear to your heart is arts education. And
yes, and you know, it's when I look back over the last 10 years at the State Arts Council and kind of where the council was when I started and now where it is, I think I'm one of the things I'm most proud of is the work that we've been able to do in arts education in the state. We have we've forged a great partnership with the Department of Education, and we actually are a division of the Department of Education, but really never forged a partnership and had found our common goals before. They're realizing how important the arts are for many rural districts. I mean, the arts are saving lives out there. And they've got curriculum writing workshops now so that we're bringing in teachers to have workshops on how to write an arts curriculum for their districts. We have 3 districts that we've provided major funding for to have a 3-year program called New Visions, where we are actually monitoring the success that they're having in instituting an arts curriculum. And just one example, the Copper River School District was one of them in Glen Allen. And when we started with them 2.5 years ago, they hadn't had an artist in the school's residency for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I presented, along with Annie Calkins, who's our arts education consultant, to the State Board of Education in October, and she had just been out there, and she brought the local paper, and the headline on the local paper said, "Arts Thriving in Glen Allen." I mean, that was amazing. That they hadn't even had an artist in school's residency. And now they consider themselves an arts-centered community. I mean, it was just remarkable to me. She showed me that at the meeting. It was just like, oh, my gosh, I just can't believe
it. It's really, really thrilling.
It is. It's thrilling.
So that it would be considered just a natural part of being an educated person.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And also, these two terms really should be put together, arts and culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And we're doing a lot of work in that with our Native arts program. We did a residency last spring here at the Smithsonian Arctic Studies Center in the museum with three snowshoe makers from the Koyukon region, three of Alaska's last snowshoe makers.
Really?
And they did a residency with three apprentices, and it was a demonstration residency, and we brought in students from around the school district.
But that's how you pass things on.
Exactly.
In the arts.
And it was amazing what the kids here in Anchorage were amazed at, how snowshoes are made and how they're used. They had photographs of snowshoe races that they have out in Ruby, and these kids were like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine you folks are running on 4-foot snowshoes out there. And that's what they do. I mean, it was just, it was really, really an amazing experience.
Did they share any of the history of the first person who thought of snowshoes, that kind of thing?
They did, actually. And in the Arctic Study Center, in the Athabaskan display, is a pair of snowshoes from the 19th century. And they actually allowed these snowshoe makers to take them out. And these guys, I mean, one of the gentlemen was in his 80s, and he's just this wonderful guy. And he was looking at the weave and talking about the weave and how different it is from the weave. It was a real amazing experience for him.
Very special.
Yeah, yeah. So I could go on and on, obviously.
This is a radio conversation. We don't mind if you do.
I mean, it's just the last 10 years have been kind of the culmination of a life that I've spent in the arts. And I, continue to work in the arts. There's some stuff here we haven't finished in the arts in Alaska, certainly. But been really fortunate to be able to really, over the last 20 years, get to know a lot of amazing people, yourself included.
Well, I remember when you were also leading the Alaska Junior Theater, which was a valuable resource for our community.
Yeah, yeah, and that was amazing. You know, the first year I was there was the first year that the Performing Arts Center opened.
Ah.
I'm dating myself, but and we had to figure out how to block off the streets so the buses could park. I mean, those mechanics of things.
Now that's a familiar sight.
And now, you know, it's just like that's what people do. But nobody had ever done that before. And I didn't know that the city owned the streets, but the state owned the ground under the streets. Oh, my gosh. I learned more about streets and closing streets than I ever wanted.
Politically complicated.
It was.
Well, I guess that's another thing. The arts do have to serve at the pleasure of the politicians. And is that part of your job, too, to sort of inspire them to the value of the arts?
That is a huge part of the job. Advocacy on all levels. I was back in Washington, D.C. last week with leaders from the 13 Western states to talk to our congressional delegation, and met with Representative Young, Senator Murkowski, and Senator Begich to talk about national funding for the arts, because in this time of economic uncertainty, the funding for the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Endowment for the Humanities and a lot of those federal cultural institutions is really being threatened. We have
again,
right? But this is economics, you know. It's not like in the 90s when a lot of it was really political. Although I guess it's a little political too. However, the state of Alaska and the legislature here over the last 10 years has been tremendously supportive of the arts, and I have found that it has nothing to do with if you're a Democrat or a Republican. It has everything to do with them caring about arts and culture in Alaska's communities.
And the quality of life for all our citizens.
Exactly. And we've gotten increases over the years. Our budget is quite a bit larger now than when I started. And
well, that's wonderful to hear, Charlotte.
Oh, it is. It is. It's almost doubled what it was when we started. And you know, they just are very supportive of our work and have been and continue to be.
Yeah, well, I know you're always encouraging arts organizations. We'll invite a legislator to lunch and make sure they come see your work, because that's the most convincing thing, is to realize the power and charm of the arts.
And in fact, for the conference, we're doing a session on advocacy, and Senator Liesl McGuire is going to be on the panel, along with a legislative lobbyist, to actually talk brass tacks about, if you want to advocate for your cause, here's how to do it. So
that's very important to know those
that's
steps.
Really important. It's really important.
Well, you know, I'm curious. I want to go back a little bit about what we're saying, your own youth and childhood, how you became inspired or were introduced to the arts. So tell me a little about that.
I was raised in a little town in southern Oregon, and my mother was a firm believer that her daughters were going to be involved in the arts. I was a dancer from the time I was very small, and studied piano, and she would regularly take us to Portland, 4 hours drive to Portland, just to see a dance performance.
Because she valued it.
She valued
as well
it.
As exposing
exactly.
It to it.
And she was a volunteer in the arts in her community, and I, you know, unfolded and unfolded chairs in the gymnasium at the high school, a lot of times getting ready for concerts. And it was just the way that I was raised. And so although my degree is in journalism, I've always been involved in the arts. And so it's just a wonderful way of life. And, you know, we'll always be that. And
of course.
Tried to pass it on to my sons. I don't know how successful I was, but
you were telling me one was studying art.
Yeah,
but
that's true. Yeah, and my brother was a visual artist, so you know it was just part of the life.
Yeah,
and
your mom must be so proud of you, Charlotte.
Yeah. Yep. She was a lovely lady.
You were a very lucky lady too.
Yeah.
Was your dad in the arts, too, or interested in the arts?
He wasn't. He was a tunnel contractor, actually, an engineer, and that's how I came to Alaska. His company, actually, was the prime contractor on the Snettisham hydroelectric project outside of Juneau. So
really?
I came up to work for him one summer in a camp outside of Juneau and never went back to Oregon except to finish college.
So is that
you know, it's
how
a common
Michael?
Story.
Because he's an engineer.
No.
Well, how did you meet him?
We actually both grew up in the same town.
Really?
I've
childhood?
Known him since I was 9 years
is
old.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So that was a romance that got reignited or something?
Yep. Well, I'll tell you the details later.
Well, we'll leave that provocatively right there. But that's really wonderful. And so I'm wondering, too, we kind of touched on why the arts are important, but we have to keep reminding people of that because, you know, I am a leader of a theater, and we are competing with social services and that kind of thing for what the society should fund and should value. Do you have any comments on that?
Where would we be as a culture, as a society, if prior civilizations hadn't valued the arts and culture and literature? What would we know about them? It talks about who we are.
Exactly.
And as Alaskans, we have this wonderful opportunity with this rich Native cultural heritage, and now many wonderful immigrant cultures that we're learning about their heritage, and our visual artists, and our public art. I mean, those stories are going to resonate for generations. Politics, politicians, the rest of us, they come and go. But that's what's going to tell our stories. And it saves lives, too. In my mind, it saves lives. I mean, it is rich far beyond any one of us.
Right. I think it's what makes you feel alive and And that's what life is all about. So, you know, I remember once you had a guest at one of those earlier conferences, and he was an educator, and he was representing inner schools, where he said everything should be the best quality. Everything should be beautiful. And people should be inspired to looking around and not seeing gray buildings, but seeing paintings and being a part of that. Do you remember
who he was?
That was has always stayed with me.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. And we have to provide the very best quality of education for our students and the very best of arts opportunities. I mean, that's one of the reasons that our artisan schools residencies are so valuable for those rural communities. White Mountain School District, and now it's the Arctic School District, and I can't remember the correct term. They started having summer school a couple years ago, and they started bringing in artists to work alongside the teachers during the summer schools.
That's terrific.
And they, this year, was that summer was the second summer that they did that, and they actually had kids who weren't in summer school wanting to come to summer school because they were having such an amazing time. And those, and kids want to learn. Guess what? This is what they're finding, is that when you use the arts to teach history and math and science, kids get it. Kids learn it, and it stays with them.
Yeah, because it has meaning then. It's
exactly.
Not just abstract. And, you know, we have one of the world-class famous art camps in the state of Alaska, Sitka Arts Camp for young people.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
It is. And they just acquired the Sheldon Jackson Campus in Sitka, Alaska Arts Southeast did. And so next year they're expanding the camp to include adults. So,
really?
Hey, we can go to Sitka, to arts camp. I've been waiting.
It could even be a fun intergenerational. Take your grandchild and you're both learning together.
Yeah, they have dormitories, and it's an amazing project. The community of Sitka has just come together to refurbish these kind of broken down buildings, turn them into classrooms, offices, dorms. It's amazing. Yeah.
That's
it's
fantastic.
Just wonderful. It's wonderful.
Like a quilting bee, except they're redoing the buildings.
Yes. And in fact, the chairman of the National Endowment for the Arts, Rocco Landesman, was here in August for during the Rasmussen Funders Tour. And they, because of schedules, I'm not sure how it happened, he had an opportunity to actually go to Sitka.
Ah.
And they had just provided a creative placemaking grant to the Fine Arts Camp. So he got to tour the camp, and he was just blown away. I mean, this if you've ever been to this campus, the Sheldon Jackson Campus, it's one of the most beautiful spots in the world.
I love
right
Sitka.
Right there on the water. So, yeah. So and stay tuned.
I will. And, you know, that's another thing that the Rasmussen Foundation does is, I mean, he is the guy for the NEA. And it's important for them to have that personal experience of knowing what Alaska has to offer.
Yeah, yeah. The Rasmussen Foundation has been a tremendous partner for us. We started in about 2002 working with them to support arts education programs in and out of the curriculum. And they are now really funding in a major way a lot of our arts education programs, and they enabled us to offer the artists more money.
Oh, for the fellowships that they are offering.
Oh,
too.
The artist fellowships are tremendous.
Yeah,
and they just started. They gave, I won't say gave back, but they transferred back to the State Arts Council the Harper Arts Touring Fund, which is named for you guys.
Well, really named for my husband, Jerry, and that's a very thrilling honor.
Yeah. So we have just today, in fact, we just announced it, that the Harper Arts Touring Fund is coming back to the State Arts Council. We've expanded it to include exhibits as well as presenting and touring.
Would you explain a little bit what it is, the Harper Touring Fund, and how it,
it
works?
It is the Harper Touring Fund funds specifically travel
Which we know is a major challenge in the state of Alaska.
Oh, it's huge to get artists to communities. So if you are a community or a presenter in a community and you want to bring in an artist, you can apply to the Harper Arts Touring Fund to help with the transportation and freight.
And the initiative does have to come from the community.
It has to come from the community
for people to know.
Right. And exhibits, too. So that's kind of interesting that they've expanded it to include visual and heritage exhibits, so that if an organization wanted to create a statewide exhibit, touring exhibit, that they could apply to the Harper Arts Fund for that.
That's very wonderful. You know what you once said, or was part of an arts campaign, which I just love, that the arts are not finite, but infinite,
and
as a resource for Alaska.
Yeah, they're a renewable resource.
A renewable resource.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Well, Charlotte, I'm talking to Charlotte Fox, who is currently is your title CEO, Executive Director?
Executive Director.
Executive Director of Alaska State Council on the Arts, and she is going to retire after 20 plus years of being an arts leader in the state of Alaska. And we're going to miss you, but you're going out with a major, fascinating exit. And maybe you could tell us just a little bit about the person who is going to succeed you.
Sure. I've decided that I'm not retiring. I'm graduating. Uh-huh. So I like that term better.
I do, too.
For some reason, retirement implies the end. It's certainly not the end for me. Shannon Daut, and that's Daut, will be the new executive director. She'll be on board the first part of January. She's currently the deputy director of the Western States Arts Federation, which comprises the 13 Western states. She's wonderful. She has an undergraduate degree in film, a master's degree in communications. She knows the arts. She's been in Alaska numerous times. She'll be tremendous.
She sounds like a worthy and wonderful successor.
Yes,
Charlotte.
I'm very excited.
But I want to thank you personally and for, I'm sure, many people in the state of Alaska for your inspiration and all the events, other conferences, and all the opportunities you have made for all of us Alaskans.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Charlotte.
It's been great.
We'll hear about your postgraduate activities next time.
All right.
And thank you all for joining us for another edition of Alaska Radio Reader Rambler, and we'll be back next month for another edition.